Yeah, but you understand what I'm saying, don't you? Yeah, it is. It is. It's frustrating. That's what I'm trying to say. It's frustrating. However, neutral ground parking is allowed. Speaking of neutral grounds, how do we get to calling them that? I don't know. Natalie Dako joins us now, Associate Professor of Anthropology and Director of Graduate Studies at Tulane, to talk about it. How you doing, Natalie?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm okay.
It sounds like you're getting some weather. So.
Am I pronouncing it right, Natalie?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a French spelling.
That's all right. I just want to make sure I say it right. How did you come to study New Orleans accents or New Orleans dialects? First of all, what's the difference between a dialect and an accent, or is there?
No. Okay. That is a big question. So, I mean, more properly, I suppose accent would generally refer to the way you pronounce things, right? Which is part of dialect. So a dialect is a variation in the way you speak. And the difference, the real question is, what's the difference between a dialect and a language? And that's also very hard, because where do you draw the line, right? How many differences you have to have between the way people speak before you say, yeah, this is something different than this? And theoretically, intelligibility is the question, but that's not necessarily true. Swedish and Norwegian are mutually intelligible. So all of these questions are really complicated. But pronunciation is absolutely one of the ways that languages vary. So how I came to study it, I came to Louisiana because I was interested in studying Louisiana French. Mm-hmm. And so initially I was working on French outside of New Orleans. And over time I was teaching students who didn't speak French in the anthropology department. And I got interested in listening to people around me talking and realizing, right, that there's a lot going on in New Orleans. Walking around New Orleans, you can hear all sorts of different ways that people speak. And so I decided to move into that direction as well.
How can that be? How can there be so many different, I don't know if it's uniquely New Orleans or not. You said you were here and you heard it, and that's what made you want to stay here. Is it, you know, we have a guy, we just hired a man, Nick, a sales manager from Chicago. You can definitely hear he's from Chicago. And I don't know how many different Chicago accents they have, but is New Orleans unique when it comes to that, or are there different Chicago accents as well?
I'm sure there are different Chicago. I did actually spend some time in Chicago, and yes, there are different ways of speaking in Chicago too.
I get him in here to say something. You might be able to tell me where he's from.
I'm not that good. Right. I can sometimes, depending on how long I hear somebody, I can usually identify someone from the Midwest, but yeah, I mean, any large city is going to have people from all sorts of different backgrounds, right? Whether it's based on your income, right? Your social, your socioeconomic status, right? Whether it's based on your ethnic background, whether it's based on race, all sorts of different people live in cities. And the way that dialects develop is basically that people talk to the people that they are surrounding, you know, people who are part of their community, right? And you start to sound like the people around you. And so when you're separated by people, whether it's by distance, so we have regional dialects, or whether it's from all these other factors, you start to sound like people you talk to and not like other people. And so even if you live in a city together, you may have different backgrounds, right? You may have of various types. And as a result, you have all these different ways of speaking developing. And the same thing happened in New Orleans, where so many people came in from lots of different places and met in New Orleans. And so they share a lot, and they also do, you know, the way they speak reflects their different backgrounds as well.
I'm looking at a piece here from Tulane.edu about a study you and a young lady named Carmichael did, and I'm reading a quote here that I don't have her first name in front of me. I apologize for that. But
Katie
Carmichael, thank you. And it says here that there is a much agreement that people in Chalmette have an accent, as well as consensus that people uptown talk fancy. And we'll get to that in a second. But I'm wondering how contagious it is. And if I put a Chalmatian uptown, are they going to start talking fancy? Or if I put an uptownie in Chalmette, are they going to start talking Chalmette?
Well, it depends on what they want to sound like. Mm-hmm. So I think as a linguist, everybody should always be proud of the way they speak, right? It tells your story.
Yeah, you're right.
You sound like where you came from. So, but that said, there are lots of situations in which you might want to sound like other people. So I come to New Orleans and I'm from Canada, and we do not say y'all in Canada, or at least we didn't when I left. That's been spreading north. Who knows? Maybe it's made it there. But, you know, I came to New Orleans. I love New Orleans. And so one of the ways you can kind of show that you love this new place is to sound like the people who are from there. And an easy way to do that is to pick up something like y'all and start using it. And it's really useful, right? So,
how far is y'all spreading? Because I watch movies and I see movies. No, but I see movies set in other places and I hear them say y'all. And I thought that was a uniquely Southern thing, but maybe not. I don't know.
Well, it's been coming up out of the South, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's not, I haven't studied y'all specifically. Other people have. But yeah, I'm not sure quite how far it's gone per se and exactly what that would mean. But sure, it is spreading north. So absolutely.
How do you go about determining the different dialects of a city? And I always go, and I heard you say, what city is this that we're in right now that you moved to?
What do you mean? I'm sorry.
The city right now that we're in right now, that you're in right now. What do you call it?
Oh, you want me to say New Orleans?
I do. Say it again.
One of the many ways you can say New Orleans.
How do you say
it? I say New Orleans. I pronounce that R. New Orleans.
I say New Orleans. N-O-O-A-W-L-I-N-S. Okay. One thing I can't stand as a local is Nawlins, because that's like, and again, we had a lady on last week talking about linguistics, about, you know, I lived in Nevada for a while, and I can't believe that in the movie Casino, they said, or in the movie The Godfather, they talked about Nevada, which is... Don't say that. Don't say Nevada.
So wrong,
in Nevada.
Right?
It is so wrong. And same thing with Frisco and San Francisco.
I lived in Las Vegas for 2 years. There's nothing
too.
That will make somebody there as angrier than Nevada. But, you know, and likewise, right?
Yep. So when it comes to...
There are lots of ways you can say New Orleans, but there are some very wrong ones.
So I want the
other
listeners.
Being, some people will protest New Orleans. Others don't, so...
Well, it depends on whether you're singing it, because it's got a rhyme. And what is odd is, one of the questions is always, do you have any idea why it's Orleans Parish yet New Orleans? That's how I say it.
That probably has something to do with the number of syllables would be my best guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we don't have a definitive answer for that.
Wait, what do you mean number of syllables?
Well, some people say New Orleans, for starters. But, you know, if you're saying New Orleans or you're just saying Orleans Parish, you've got two syllables versus
I see. I got you. Now, I would
and
like
so having that new in front of it, right, changes.
I would like people to text in at 504-260-187. You're going to have to spell it phonetically, how you say the name of the city. I know Uptowners have been known to say New Orleans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what are some of the other pronunciations? New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans?
Basically, yeah. New Orleans is whether the R is there or not, right, results in automatically two different pronunciations. But I'm pretty bad at doing some of them, right? But I think you should have the viewers call in.
You think you're
or
bad.
Listeners, I guess, call
think,
in and say it for you.
All right, that's an idea. 504-260-1870. But we'll Tim to work, and we'll see how do you say New Orleans. Or maybe if you want to just come in and talk, call in rather than talking a little bit of your dialect, maybe. Natalie can tell you what neighborhood you're from. How about that? 504-260-1870.
Oh, now you're putting me on the spot.
Prepare something.
I'm not going to be that good.
To read or say, but just, and what confuses me is that, you know, I have this job and I have to be true to myself, but I also can't drift into my native West Bank and start talking about going to the hardware store and getting something for the car and then parking the car and you're going to get some beers at the store. What are you going to do? I can do that, and what is very troublesome, Natalie, is that, you know, when my parents were alive and when there were family gatherings is, you know, you start pronouncing your R's, and everybody starts looking at you like, you know, why are you being so uppity? Who do you think you are pronouncing your R's? How did we get to dropping the R's? How did that happen?
Well, that, yeah, how did that happen is a very good question. It's a very complicated story, too. I think the bigger question is, well, it has to do with immigration patterns and all sorts of status and politics and whether you supported the British or not and where you were on the coast. So it's a very long story, but
wait, whether you supported
true,
what?
Right?
The British? What did you say? Whether you supported the British? Really?
Whether you supported the British, whether you in fact, or whether not it were supported the British, but in the sense that you felt that you were British, right? It was actually something that was variable at the time the British were coming to North America. And depending on where you went along the American coastline, right, you would have in different colonies, people either pronounced it or didn't, and, you know, had to do with a lot of different factors, social factors, whether they were connected to England or not. And so it tends to persist, at least in America, it becomes a working class. To not pronounce your R becomes working class. But in England, of course, it's very prestigious not to pronounce your R. So it's kind of an interesting phenomenon. Why it's disappearing from the South is also pretty complicated. But it's true, right? When you start to sound, when you start using the prestige dialect, I mean, we're not going to lie to people, and everybody knows, right, that some dialects are considered better than others. Mm-hmm. And there's this line that only before God and the linguist are all dialects equal. And that's probably true, right? I think even if we're proud of the way we speak, we're generally aware that other people might consider us to be non-standard, and non-standard equals bad in some way, which is unfortunate. And I spend a lot of time trying to disabuse people of that notion. But like I say, you should be proud of the way you speak, right? It's who you are. But yeah, you know, taking on features that are not yours but belong to a higher socioeconomic class has repercussions, right? When you come back into your own community, it's a way of distancing yourself from people and saying, I'm not one of you anymore. I've become somebody else. And I think people can find that hurtful, right? So
I notice, and we'll take a break here, pick it up, we go back. I notice my kid, who's 28 now, and that generation from, you know, schools and everything else, they seem to be drifting away from the New Orleans dialect, and I'll ask you if it's disappearing when we come back. We're talking to Natalie Dako, Associate Professor of Anthropology and Director of Graduate Studies at Tulane. We'll talk about some New Orleansisms that might be disappearing, or maybe, you know, people try to fake the funk with making groceries. And why do we say the store opens for 8 o'clock instead of at 8 o'clock? And you can text me some of your New Orleanians-isms if you want at 504-260-1870. I know one thing that's interesting is writing commercial copy. When I first started, I would say pass by, and they'd say, well, why would you want them to pass by the store? You want them to stop by the store. Don't pass by the store. We'll be back, WWL.
That people are shifting away from it? Sure,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's happening, yeah. But the thing is, right, there's always going to be something new coming down the pipeline, too. Mm-hmm. And so there are always going to be ways that people express linguistically, right, the way they're from or the place they're from. And so they'll find a new way. There are new things coming in all the time. I remember asking a few years ago, I was doing a survey with some students. We were asking people about New Orleans slang. Can you tell us about authentic New Orleans English? And, you know, some people gave us terms like banquet, mm-hmm. Which, you know, a lot of people also didn't recognize. A lot of younger people, when I asked about that term, were like, what? So, you know, some things leave and some things come in. There's a thesis from 1983. By Madeleine Obergeck, and it's about lexical items in New Orleans. And when I go through that list, right, there are all these things that I don't know, that I've never heard on the streets of New Orleans, that are, even in her survey, that are passing out of use. And you see she does across generations who recognizes this, and the older generation will recognize it and the younger ones don't.
Do any come to mind now for you? I don't know, you don't have a list in front of you, I wouldn't think. But
beyond banquet? No.
Yeah, I mean, that's sidewalk.
I guess Calas are making a comeback.
What's that?
Yeah. Most people will know what it is, but they don't use it. Mm-hmm. Some people literally, if you get like a kid, they sometimes don't know. I tried Parent, and there were people who didn't know that was a godfather. Mm-hmm. And I was like, am I pronouncing it wrong? Am I doing two French? Not a French, you know, and so on. But banquet was sort of the classic. Yeah, I kind of know that, but don't use it. But the only one that I can think of, things like, I think my favorite term was gros comme ça, meaning pregnant. Because it literally means big like this, meaning you're pregnant.
And that's Creole French, or is that, where does that come from?
It's French, yeah.
And well, how do you say it?
Gros comme ça.
Gros comme ça, which means pregnant?
Big like this, meaning pregnant, yeah.
That I've never heard. And I guess Creole is part of this as well, right? Because you got a little bit of
sure.
The Creole influence involved here, and people from Haiti who spoke French as well as, and that you compare and contrast with Cajun French, and you got a big gumbo going on here, don't you?
That's about right, yeah. So, but, you know, historically, New Orleans has so many influences, and French is definitely one of them. But, you know, there are all these other populations that came in. We have words from indigenous languages, Bayou, it's a Choctaw mm-hmm. word. And we have words from African languages like gumbo. Which means okra, right? And it comes from Africa. And I could not tell you which language in Africa, but I think actually several. But it is African, right? It's this term that made its way over here. And we have a lot from French, but I've also heard people say, you know, that somehow New Orleans English or Louisiana English in general is a hybrid with French, and that would be going too far. It's clearly English. But absolutely, it's been influenced by French. But I think that also hides a lot of what else is going on, right? Louisiana English owes a huge debt to the enslaved English speakers who came over from places like Virginia, the Carolinas, who came here and brought a variety of English with them, right? And that English was foundational to Louisiana, as was the Irish came over and bringing a different kind of English. And they're probably almost certainly responsible for the expression, where you at? Mm-hmm. There's very, very similar in Ireland.
Okay, all right. That makes sense.
In Ireland and in Newfoundland, you get, where you at? And
really?
If you say, what are you at, really fast, it sounds a lot like, where you at? And, you know, there are very similar expressions in the Caribbean, in some English-based Creoles there. But it's possible that some people in New Orleans, right, who had come in from the Caribbean may have had a similar expression, and that's why we have it here and not anywhere else, right, that you had Irish immigrants except Newfoundland. But, you know, I mean, there's all sorts of influences in New Orleans English. One of the funner ones. Sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, please.
I think one of my favorite ones is from Italian. Well, there was one I heard once was unfortunately a curse word that it had retained, but the becausa, meaning the bathroom.
Bathroom, yeah.
The back house, right, becomes the becausa. And so there's a lot of fun stuff, but there are influences, right, from all these other languages that came to Louisiana as well. And so New Orleans may sound, right, certain dialects in New Orleans sound like New York, but they're different. They may sound like other places, but there's, right, things that make it New Orleans, and that nonetheless, even when it resembles other things, are distinct from other places too. So, and there are absolutely things that are shared across South Louisiana. And, you know, there's not been a whole lot of work done to compare English in the city versus English in the countryside, right? If I'm going to go down to Chauvin was just, I was listening to the little news blurb before you put me on, and it was talking about flooding here in Chauvin, rain and wherever. But yeah, you can go to Chauvin, right, and listen to people speak English, and they sound different. I once got on a plane, and this guy says, I'm from New Orleans. I'm like, no, you're not. You're from down the bayou. I can hear it. He's like, yeah, I'm from Chauvin.
You, but, so you did that?
But there's
really?
A lot that's nonetheless in common.
You're
so,
Henry great. Higgins.
But, no,
you
I'm
are,
not.
Aren't
I
you?
Just happened to be doing a dissertation down there at the time.
All right. So let me ask you about,
hearing it a lot, but,
about the New York thing, because I got a text from somebody repeatedly about where it came from, where it didn't. And I'm looking at this paper from Tulane again, and it talks about Amy Coney Barrett at her confirmation hearing and a New York podcaster saying, why does she have a faint, low-key Long Island accent, and almost accusing her of faking it, when in fact she's from Metairie and that's all she was doing. Is there any definitive proof as to where the New York / Boston / New Orleans accent, the R thing came from? Or is it all about Irish or what? Tell me about that.
Well, it's kind of a debate, right? Because New Orleans is a port city, and it has a lot in common with other port cities. Like, you know, you get this R-lessness in Boston, in New York, in places like Charleston.
R-lessness. I love that. I'm going to write that down. R-lessness. I always called it dropping R's. Huh?
It's worse. My dialect is R-ful.
So. R-ful. Yeah, that's what and that's the other problem. I put R's where they shouldn't be, like idea. Why do we do that? What happens?
Oh, yeah. Because you know that there's supposed to be an R, right? A lot of words, or not in that case, but what you know is that you pronounce car, but the car is. It always appears again, right? Mm-hmm. When you have a word starting with a vowel that follows it, right? So I may park the car, but the car is in whatever. So that R comes back. Mm-hmm. And if you're deleting R's, right, theoretically what you're doing is deleting R's, but of course, functionally, that's not really what you're doing. What you're doing is inserting them. And sometimes you don't know if there's supposed to be an R there or not. And yeah, so many words that end in a vowel get an R when there's another is the process you're going with. And so, okay, now my dear has an R on the end.
I dear. Yep.
So, but the definitive, you asked about the New York, New Orleans connection, right? And so there are some arguments. One argument is that there were very similar immigrant populations, right? You had Irish, you have Germans, you have Italians in New York, and you have them in New Orleans. And the other argument is that there was this connection between New York and New Orleans. And so the aforementioned Katie Carmichael, my colleague who did this work with me, she's professor at Virginia Tech. She's looked specifically at this, right, and seen that the patterning, the way that you drop, when do you drop the R, when do you not, it looks really similar between New York and New Orleans. And so she has some theories, and other people have different theories. And so there are all these theories going around, and we don't have a definitively conclusive explanation, but there are sure a lot of good explanations, good suggestions.
I don't want to get too much in the process, but this has to be fascinating, the work you do. How do you interview people? How do you determine and ask them where they're from? Do you just engage them in conversation and listen to what they have to say? And how close is it to Henry Higgins?
Well, Henry Higgins was trying to teach somebody how to speak correctly so that, you know, anyway. But
he was diagnosing dialects before
we,
that, though, right?
I suppose.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert on Henry Higgins.
Okay.
But so what we do is, we interview people. We ask people to sit down with us and talk to us for, it actually takes about an hour and a half at the shortest. But, you know, I mean, that's kind of the best part of what I do. I get to sit down with people and they share some part of their lives with me. And that's really a privilege, right? To sit down and have somebody share something personal about themselves. And so we sit and we talk about life in New Orleans and we talk about whatever comes to mind, right? Whatever's interesting. We talk about politics. We talk about all sorts of stuff. And then what we do is we have them read a passage. So we have a story and they read this. It's a one page story. They read the story. And that way we're targeting certain features like the pronunciation of, you know, this, are we going to say that R or not?
Mm-hmm.
And after that, we have a list of words. Can you read these words? And so we'll have things that people kind of, they, at some point we had curl, coil, and they were like, I see what you're doing. And so they got suspicious. Like, I see what you've got these
wait,
words.
Wait,
but
tell
yeah,
me about that.
That
curl,
exactly what we want
curl,
to know.
Coil, what?
Coil. We were looking for things like, I'm trying to think of the exact words that were on the survey. It's been too long now.
Like earl or
but,
oil, that kind of thing?
Exactly.
Erster,
Earl and Oil
oyster.
Were on there. Thank you.
Erster, oyster?
I don't remember we had Erster, but we absolutely had Earl and Oil, and people said, I see what you're up to.
I get what you're going to.
But yeah, there were lots of features that we were looking at in this. And so the idea is that we have a sample of the way that you're speaking, when in theory, at least, you're just talking casually. And then we also want a sample of the way you're speaking when you're speaking in a way that you feel is, quote unquote, correct in some way. And we also have a survey where we ask you, you know, how do you feel about a sentence like this? Does that sound good? And we use the term neutral ground, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Or we ask them, you know, whatever. And they say, yeah, that sounds good to me. Buku was one of my favorites a few years ago. Mm-hmm. I went out with some students asking them, how do you feel? We got 19 sentences because we accidentally miscounted. We were going for 20.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we put buku into all sorts of different contests. Could you say it's buku hot? Can you say there's buku money here? Could you say I buku like video games? And we went in various different ways and just to, and then ask people, is that good, bad, you know, on a scale of 1 to 5, how do you feel about this? But yeah, so we have all these different ways that we talk about language. And then we ask them directly, you know, how do you feel about the way you speak? Has anybody commented on the way you speak? And all sorts of interesting stuff comes up. And we ask about specific expressions like where you at? So, or whether people think they speak Southern.
Do you remember getting into sink? I'm getting a text here. Or zinc or rinse or wrench?
Those ones I think we left out,
okay.
But yeah, I mean, we couldn't include everything.
Right. I was just curious about
we
that, where
went
that came
with,
from.
That I do not know offhand. I would have to look into it.
All right, one other thing, and I know this is not your wheelhouse specifically, but it's all, I get text about it, and it's always a question I've had as well. Why is it that people from the Northeast, and again, you may not have studied this, I don't know, but you are an anthropologist, with pronouncing the T's, what is the deal in that where they don't pronounce the T's? Like Peyton, Peyton instead of Peyton. Like they leave it out. Like Coach Sean Payton instead of Sean Payton. Where does that come from?
Oh, no, it's there. It's just become a glottal, what we call a glottal stop. If you say the word uh-oh, you know how you stop your breath in between the and the O?
Wait, say that again?
So, but if you say uh-oh.
Uh-oh, okay.
Right? So you feel how you stop the air between and O.
Uh-oh.
We call that a glottal stop.
A glottal stop.
And what's happened to the T in a name like Payton is that before an N, we do that. That's what we do. So I'm button, right, is also the word button. You'll note we spell it with two T's. And if you go, some dialects will say the button, but we do not. We say the button because that's just the way. Every language has rules about what you do when sounds are near each other, and that's what we do in this case. When there's a T before an N, we say make it a glottal stop.
Does that have to do with the workings of, when you say glottal, the workings of your speech mechanism, your biology or not?
Yes.
It does, okay. And real
correct.
Quick.
Yeah, the glottis, yeah.
Oh, good, I'm sorry.
Sorry. No, go ahead.
I'm here every day. I want to hear you, Natalie. I'm tired of hearing me.
Well, the glottis covers the airway, and then it opens up and lets air through or not, depending on what kind of sound you're making. So, yeah.
All right, Louisiana French, Canadian French. Somebody wants to know about connections.
Oh, yeah. Sure. There were a lot of Canadians who came down here. Bienville and Iberville came down from Canada, after all. Mm-hmm. If you go to a place like Marksville, there were more Canadians, more Canadian French speakers who settled around there. But specifically, what do you want to know? There are absolutely things they have in common. There are also some differences. Canadian French will have a lot more z before sounds like u. And unless you go to certain parts of Louisiana, you generally don't get that here. If I go to Quebec, it's become a sport of mine to go to French-speaking places and sound like a Cajun. If I go to Quebec, they ask if I'm from New Brunswick. If I go to New Brunswick, I can absolutely hear the difference, too. But you can certainly hear a lot of similarity there. Yeah, what do they want to know specifically about it?
I know you're not a dancing monkey, but tell me a little bit of, like, what would it sound like if you were to try to sound Cajun in Quebec?
I did my dissertation down in Lafourche and Terrebonne parishes, mm-hmm. and there's this really cool phenomenon there, and it exists in parts of Quebec too, incidentally, and other places in the French-speaking world, including here in France, which is where I am right now. Where you pronounce the je as in j'ai or jamais or jambon as h, and so in other dialects it'll be more like h, but in Louisiana it's a h, and so I tend to. And so on, right? I start substituting my je with h, for example, and I pronounce my r instead of the r. I do a h. Sorry, I can't do it right now. Instead, it's a little tap or flap, we call it in linguistics. But yeah, let me see. Let me think of a sentence. Dès que mon hétéhan, on mangeait pas de la viande le vendredi. And so it gets I kind of messed up the vendredi there because I've been speaking English, and I was talking too fast. But yeah, so. I forgot what the question was.
Well, it was about Canadian. How would you pass yourself off as being from Lafourche Parish in Quebec, I think, is what I was asking you.
Oh, pretty much that one. Doing okay. The je to ha.
I got to tell you, I think you're a fascinating individual. I would love to shadow you for a week, although I would probably drive you crazy because the language, it just fascinates me. It really does. And I hope you can come back. And I know you took time away from your vacation to come on with us. And she's in Paris right now is where she is, which is very nice of you to do, which led to the confusion when I said, Natalie, tell me what city we're in, because you're thinking, well, it's Paris. I don't know how you want me to say that when I was talking about New Orleans. Thank you so much. Y'all travel safely, darling, all right?
All right. Y'all stay dry over there.
Y'all too. All right. Natalie Dako, Associate Professor of Anthropology and Director of Graduate Studies at Tulane, 9:45, quarter till 10, traffic now, WWL.
From the Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters WWL Traffic Center, I'm Joe Cardosi. No delays across the Bonnie Carey Spillway as you head in from LaPlace, and I-10 is also free and clear between Kenner and Metairie. The causeway's looking good to and from the North Shore this morning. Headed in from Slidell, it's all clear across the Twin Spans. Smooth sailing across the high rise as well. As you head toward downtown from the east on I-10, no delays all the way to the CBD, and the Pontchartrain Expressway is also moving just fine. As you head in from the West Bank, looking good across the Crescent City connection and all clear in both directions across the Huey P as well. With your look at traffic, I'm Joe Cardosi.